Hello, Harmony Community Church. I'm so sorry that you're not in front of me as I'm speaking today. Sure miss seeing all of you. But we will continue to try to be as smart as we can in the midst of all that's going on. And so we're not meeting together this week. But we trust you all are doing well and just would like to encourage you again. That God's still in control. And as we speak today, we're looking at a couple Sundays away from Easter, the Resurrection Sunday. So today, again, we will actually be speaking concerning the events leading up to the resurrection. And so today we're actually looking at those verses of Scripture where Jesus entered into the Garden of Gethsemane and was praying. So that is actually looking at the cup that he asked if there's any way God could let that pass, he would. What we're talking about today mainly is the victory at the Gethsemane. Even though the battle, the final battle, was at Calvary, there was a major victory won in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39 and following, it says, "And when he came out, and he went, as he was wont to do, he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. So he was withdrawn from the disciples just a short distance away, and he kneeled down, and he prayed. And this is what he said, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared an angel to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, to the east of the city of Jerusalem, there's a little mountain. It's called the Mount of Olives. It's about 300 feet above the Jerusalem. It's just a limestone ridge, about a mile in length. On the western slope of that Mount of Olives is a garden. Tradition says all the way back to the second century, this place is the garden where Jesus prayed. It's Gethsemane. The actual word Gethsemane literally means oil press, because it was in this garden that they had a giant press to press the olive oil from the olives. There in the upper room just hours before, at the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, leaving there needing to pray, he left there and went on to Mount Zion, and he came and crossed the brook. The brook was Kidron. Scholars tell us that when they would make animal sacrifices on the Temple Mount, that so much blood would run down into this Kidron Valley, into that brook, and literally become crimson, red with blood. And as Jesus left that upper room and came down and crossed this valley to go up to the place, he had to cross that brook running crimson with blood at that time of the Passover. Surely it must have reminded the Lord Jesus that soon his blood would flow in that same spot on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. And it says there in verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, a short distance, and he kneeled down and he prayed. And he prayed alone. The custom of the time was to pray standing with eyes raised toward heaven. In chapter 18, verse 11 and 13. But on this specifically special solemn occasion, Jesus knelt down and prayed. And he said, Father, if you're willing, if there's any way this cup could be removed. And this cup was associated with the suffering and the wrath of God in Psalms chapter 11, verse 6. And Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17. And Ezekiel, that's exactly what it symbolized, the wrath of God. And at this moment, it was no easy task that Jesus looked forward to. But his prayer centers always on the Father's will rather than on Jesus himself being spared. So he prays that if there, God's will could be done, if it could be done. But he says, not my will, but your will. And it's at this very moment, the verse says, angels came to strengthen Jesus and supplemented him with his human resource. It says, an angel of heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, verse 43. The book of Hebrews also tells us that angels were sent by God to minister to the needs of his elect, and who in the days of his flesh, verse 7 of chapter 5 of Hebrews, but who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. In verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. From the moment of his birth, Jesus lived in the shadow of the cross. But because he would die as a sacrifice under the wrath of God, Jesus, even in his perfect humanity, shrank back at this utter horror of it. And so he cries out to the Father and he says, if there's any way to remove this cup, would you do it? He was using the Jewish image of the cup filled with God's wrath. So here it is, he wrestles with the Father pleading that he might find some other way to satisfy his justice and still fulfill his plan for the redemption of fallen race, of fallen mankind. But for all that Jesus desired not to have to go through this, there was something that he desired more fervently, and that was to do his Father's will. For he says, not my will, but yours be done. Dripping blood would be expected to take place at the crucifixion, but no blood like this is even mentioned there in the talk of what took place at the crucifixion. No blood was mentioned. The most intense description of Jesus' suffering in the Gospels is at Gethsemane. For it's in the Gethsemane the victory is won, though the battle is not really realized and completed until his death at Calvary. So that's what we're looking at, the victory that was won at Gethsemane first. What did this cup that Jesus said, is there any way it can pass from me? What was it that this cup really symbolized? What was it? Was it so vile and filthy that caused Jesus to shrink back in dread of it? Was that what it was? It was not physical death by crucifixion that had caused such dread. It wasn't Satan. It wasn't Jesus' fear of Satan that caused it. Jesus had already met Satan in the wilderness and had already conquered him there. What was it that was breaking the heart of the Lord Jesus that he would plead and say, is there any way that this could pass and something else could be done? The cup symbolized every sin that had ever been committed and that would ever be committed throughout time. The sin of all the ages was in that cup. My sins, your sins, all sins were in that cup. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet he was without sin. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't guilty. That is not the reason. The Bible also teaches us that in order for him, Jesus, to redeem us, our sin had to be placed upon the Lord Jesus. So Jesus, the scripture says that God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So suppose we were to go back in time and pile all the sins since the very beginning, Cain's first sin, every sin that's been committed in one pile, Hitler's sins, the gas ovens. If we put all the murders there, all the hate there, all the witchcraft, all the evil that's ever been committed, all of our sins, every sin of every person who ever lived or who ever will live, if we pile them all in one pile and put every one of those sins in that cup that Jesus has to drink, that's exactly what it symbolized. And then we say, Jesus, you drink it. Jesus, you become sin. You don't just bear our sin, but you become our sin. Jesus had not sinned. He never had sinned. But he was made to be sin for us because he carried that sin to the cross. And Jesus knew exactly what sin was. That's why there was such a dread. And he said, is there any way, Father, this can be done another way? Jesus had seen sin turn angels into demons, Satan himself. Jesus knew what would be come to him when he drank that cup. He knew he would be numbered with the transgressors. Remember Isaiah 53:12, Mark 15:28. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. Isaiah 53:12. And he made intercession for those transgressors. Mark 15:28 said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. So the cup symbolized every sin that had ever taken place or will take place before the end of time. Not only that, the cup symbolized sin's punishment. Jesus knew that the punishment, not of some sin, but of all sin, not of some people, but of every person who would ever live and commit sin, every one of those would be placed upon him. One man, the God-man Jesus, would have to bear it all. And when he did, God the Father would have to treat him as if he had committed all those sins, and of all the people, of all the sins of all time. That is the reason why the Bible says that God spared not his own son. Romans 8:32. The Bible says in Isaiah, it pleased, chapter 53, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When Jesus took my sin, and when Jesus took your sin, God the Father in justice had to treat Jesus as he would treat me or as he would treat you. And Jesus knew that. He knew he was going to suffer the very fires of hell. Jesus knew that he was going to walk the burning halls of hell. Jesus knew he was going to receive the shock of God's wrath and now be separated from God on that cross. He was going to cry out later in Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew that, and he shrank back from it and wanted to know if there's any way this could be done without this happening. And God the Father had to turn his back on God the Son at the cross. The sins of the whole world were distilled, and the eternities were compressed in this one moment. So at this point in time, Jesus Christ would be suffering an eternity of hell on that cross. And he knew that. And he says, is there any way this can be accomplished without that? The price that Jesus paid, only the damned in hell can begin to know. But they'll never know, because they're only paying for their sin. Jesus paid for all of the sin of all the people for all time. That is the content of the cup. No wonder Jesus said, Father, if it is possible, let it pass from me. But Jesus drank that cup. It was for all the sins that had ever been committed. And Jesus drank the cup. If we do not understand why he shrank back a little bit and he asked the question, Father, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? Then we don't know what was then there. Seeing the vileness and all the filth of sin, he just said, oh God, is there some other way? And there is no other way. So in his humanity, he shrank back. But in his divine love, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He paid a price, and we will never know the agony that the Son of God endured there on the cross. Remember, Jesus did not have to die. He had a choice. And Jesus Christ said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down on myself. John 10:18. He didn't have to die. He made a choice. Remember, Jesus was the only man who ever chose to die. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. There was no sin in him. There would have to been no death in him. He would not have had to die like every other person who's born on this earth. You say, well, a suicide person chooses to die. No, they don't. They just choose to die a little sooner because they're going to die anyway. It says it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Every person who's ever been born on this earth except Jesus will have to die. They will die, but not Jesus. He didn't have to die, but he chose to die. Jesus was the only man who could say, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. But yet, Jesus said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. If you read Isaiah chapter 14, you'll see that Satan became Satan when he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So what did he do? He said, it's not your will, God, but my will that's going to be done. And Satan said to this God, Father, it's not your will, but my. I'll do what I want to do. But Jesus, though he was very God, he said, not my will, but yours be done. What about Adam? It's the same thing took place. Following Satan in the garden, when it came to him, he says, it's not my will, it's not thy will, God, that I'm going to do what's right, but mine, and he ruined the race. Jesus, in another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, the last Adam, he said, it's not my will, but thine, and he redeemed the race. The Lord Jesus willingly, voluntarily, vicariously, and in victory, said, not my will, but thine. You know, have you ever thought, had he said, no, not thine will, but my will, every one of us would have to burn in hell for forever. We'd be damned. But Jesus said, no, not my will, but thine be done. And it was because Jesus did the will of the Father and suffered and bled and died on the cross that you and I and anyone who by faith would trust Jesus can be redeemed. Because Jesus took our sin and he carried it to the cross. You know, sometimes people get all confused and they say, well, God just can overlook sin. He can just let that go. Nothing has to be done about it. God will never overlook sin. He cannot. God is holy and is just. And by his holiness and his justness, he has sworn that sin has to be punished. All sin must be punished. No sin goes unpunished. If God were to let one sin go unpunished, God would no longer be holy. God would no longer be just. If he did not punish sin, he would topple from his throne of justice and holiness. He must punish sin. So the cross is God's way to punish sin and forgive the sinner at the same time. The righteousness of God in him. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21? That's exactly what had to take place. So Jesus drank that cup that covered every sin and every punishment that would have to come with that sin, and he willingly drank that cup. But that's not all of it. Jesus shares that cup. What do you mean? You know, the Lord's Supper that we take, and it is always to be a reminder. That's exactly what Jesus said. Remember, just before he went to the Gethsemane in the garden, he was there at the Last Supper with his disciples. Remember what he told them? He said, this is the New Testament in my blood, Luke 22:20. He said, drink it, because Jesus drank the cup of sin that we might have the cup of redemption. Thank God, because he drank this cup, we can also drink that cup. But we drink the cup of communion because that is exactly where we meet Jesus. We swap places. He takes our sin and he drinks it down, and we take his righteousness and we drink it in. That's exactly what the Lord's Supper is. It reminds us of everything that Jesus did. It reminds us that the major victory was at Gethsemane, where he said, God, Father, your will, not mine be done. God forbid that we should ever fail to forget all that took place in Gethsemane. He said, remember, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. The very word sorrowful has the idea of being separated or being alone. The victory really was won in the Gethsemane, and the battle was at Calvary. It was won first in the Gethsemane. In our text, Jesus spoke of his agony. You know, that the word agony actually means, and why they call it the place, the rock of agony, where he was. It was an athletic contest in Greek. It was a wrestling match. Jesus was wrestling. He was wrestling with this. He was in agony as he wrestled with this. There was a wrestling contest. In the wrestling contest was with Jesus himself. There was his holy humanity, and there was his divine love, and there was that contest, a wrestling match. And thank God his love won. His love paid the price in a dark Gethsemane so that we could be free. The victory was won at Gethsemane, even though the battle was won at Calvary. We are to be reminded at this time of year all that took place simply because Jesus was willing to be obedient to God the Father. Therefore, the plan of redemption could be carried out. So in this moment, we can remember what Jesus gave up so that our sins could be dealt with and we could be free and we could be in the right relationship with God the Father. Let's pray and ask God to remind us all that took place at this moment in time as the weeks before the resurrection. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you loved us so much to please yourself and to satisfy yourself. You sacrifice yourself. Father, we thank you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was obedient even to death so that we could be free and that we could have the right relationship with you now and also for eternity. Lord, we ask you in the days that we deal with now with all that's going on in our country, all that's going on in our county, that you would remind us you are still sovereign, you are still in control. And we can trust you not only in this life, but in eternity. Thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.